This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Leicester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, it is your takeover, your time to have your Foxes say. The next 30 minutes, you can join us and say what's going on with Leicester at the minute. No win in the Premier League for 2 months now. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. A man to tell us all about it. I know he'll want to kick it off with VAR. He is Mr. Positive. He is Mr. Leicester, but how is he feeling tonight? It is the brilliant Lee Cheppy from Leicester Fan TV. Lee, well, we were doing this show from season start and it was always high. The blistering, incredible form that Leicester found themselves. A sticky patch, a rocky road at the minute. It isn't going quite so well. They are in the top four. 1-0 on the weekend to Norwich, but what are you making of it?
I'm going to try and put a positive spin on it. Norwich have done the double on Man City this season. So there you go. look, there was no denying we were poor. We were very, very poor at the weekend. I'm sick to death of no urgency. You're 1-0 down against Norwich at 85th minute. There don't seem to be any urgency. You just play the ball at the back. What, you know, the defenders are just pinging it to each other. There's just no urgency. It's getting on my nerves a little bit now. Something that's carried over since the Claude Puel days, I think, as well, is the corners defending. I've mentioned this on the show before, but it's really starting to stick out like a sore thumb now. 11 men in the box at defending on corners, especially being 1-0 down as well. Come on, lads. Seriously, stick someone up top.
Yeah, it's really...
Something's got to change.
Yeah, it's really difficult at the minute, Lee, because we know how knee-jerk we can be as fans. We know how drastic we can be. When it's going well, we're talking about a title charge, and now that it's not going so well, we're seeing all the flaws, all the holes that, and the vulnerabilities the team may have. But, you know, the reality is it's never as good as when it's high, as it's never as low as we're thinking. We always see the worst. There is a bad run at the minute, but obviously VAR playing another part. Let's talk about that now, because it's two games in quick succession that VAR has had its part in the game with Leicester.
Yep.
And just before we look at that actual incident, you yourself, Lee, saying that VAR for you, now you're losing complete interest, not just in Leicester, but in football.
I genuinely have. I won't mind admitting on the radio, I've not been to a Leicester game myself. I've got a ticket, season ticket. You know I'm a season ticket holder. I've not been now for quite some time. I've not watched any football at all at the weekend. I almost feel like I've sort of, at the minute, I've just fell out of love with football. I've seen the situation with Man United and the Everton goal as well, which is a shambles in itself. That decision for me was wrong. The VAR situation with Iheanacho. The ball, I'm sure, touched an Norwich player first. And regardless of who it touched, it wasn't in a situation where anyone could do anything about it. The ball hadn't moved. It hadn't changed its trajectory in any kind of way. So what was wrong with it? There was absolutely nothing wrong. I don't understand what this is for. This VAR is just it's just ruining everything.
Yeah, because it's going back and checking everything. And you have to say that VAR was meant to, you know, obviously overturn human error. But obviously, like the offside, the armpit offside that we're seeing, and like these handballs, there's no certain advantage given to a player. He's not trying to, you know, cut a corner here. You know, it just happens, ball to hand. But the fans and opposing teams and opposing fans, Lee, would argue that by the letter of the law, whether it touched the Norwich player first or whoever, it still touched his hand or his arm, and that is a handball. It's a difficult one, this, because if I'm being honestly, in real time, I thought, oh, handball. And then when I saw the slower replays, I thought, that is very harsh.
I know. I mean, was we even given a free kick at all? If it was touched by Norwich player first, we weren't even given a free. So I don't know, mate. I'm sour.
Yeah, and obviously the goal scorer, Iheanacho, obviously scoring. It was a beautiful strike. Yeah, wonderful hit. Absolute techers. And, you know, proving his worth because he was in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Lee, caused a bit of a ripple last week on social media. You saying about Vardy being dropped. We are hearing that he's injured, but he didn't start that game. And you were quick to text me saying, look, you know, maybe Brendan Rodgers was the man to do it.
You were the first person to text because I felt like I was right.
You certainly was, mate.
He's going to miss out the fixture on Wednesday, so Iheanacho is probably the man up top on Wednesday. And speaking of Wednesday's fixture with Birmingham, have you seen their away their allocated slot? They have like 6,000 seats. It's massive.
Mm. And they're on an incredible run at the minute. I think it's 13 games unbeaten, 12 or 13 Birmingham flying at the minute. It's a one-off game knockout cup competition. We'll look at that more in the second half tonight. But let's keep it on that game just quickly, Lee, because Vardy was dropped and so was Tielemans. He's a player we spoke about. What did you make of that decision from Brendan Rodgers?
Yeah, look, I think Chilwell's another one that's going to get dropped at some point as well. But Tielemans, he just looks like he's been playing with sticky toffee on his feet. It's just, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
He's not the player that he looked when he first came in. And we've been talking this on the show before. He looks like he's blowing all the time. He's gassed. He's red-cheeked, red-faced. I don't know.
Is it a combined thing, Lee? Because we're talking about a drop in form for Tielemans, for Chilwell. Madison hasn't been at his best. Vardy hasn't scored in ages. And it's just overall the team at the minute. We can't really point fingers at individuals, but no one is really on their best at the minute. Hence the, you know, no win in 2 months.
Something we were talking about on the fan show last night on Leicester Fan TV, a group of us went live together and had a chat. And that was one of the things that came up is some of the players too confident that they're just going to get picked, never get dropped, that they don't really give a monkey's, so their performances don't really reflect them being dropped.
Yeah. Well, it is the year anniversary as well of Rodgers. He did do that dropping of Vardy.
Yeah.
Now that we've got a year to look
at
that.
Overall, 12 months that Brendan Rodgers has been here, it's been, you look at it overall, fantastic. We're third in the Premier League. A brilliant, brilliant season so far. A little dip in form at the minute, but would you, if you said this at the start of the season, that we were third in the Premier League, I'd take it. Would you take it?
Well, I would have beat both hands off if we're talking about no win in 2 months, and yet still the gap is 8 points. I mean, that is frightening. Lee, just a quick million-dollar question, really. Are you third with that 8-point gap because how wonderful Leicester were at the start of the season, or how bad everyone else is behind you at the minute, the teams that have dropped off? Or is it simply a combination of both?
Bit of luck comes into it as well, I think, you know, especially when the big teams around us are playing the teams near like the bottom that are all fighting for their lives, like the Chelsea game, like, you know, and ourselves, Norwich. It's just, just a bit of luck there, to be honest with you. And if we can just turn it around a little bit and let's, you know, start winning a few more games, I think we can still scrape through to Champions League.
Yeah, and actually, I wanted to go back because you mentioned Ben Chilwell, and there's a lot of rumours about him, and certainly rumours out today, a lot of rumours from our sources at Tottenham as well, and obviously there was an article in the Times Sport saying that Spurs could be interested in Ben Chilwell, have made the early stages of a move on that one. What do you make of this?
How much for was that?
It just talks at the minute, so I think that's where the negotiation stages are. Again, we don't know how much truth is in this, but no smoke without fire. But it's an interesting one. We're seeing a club come in for Ben Chilwell, but at the minute, Leicester fans, I'm not saying they want to lose him, but the form's not been there, there's been a drop-off, but then a club like Tottenham want him. Rodgers wouldn't want him to go, would he?
No, I don't think he'd want him to go, but it depends on the price tag. I mean, look at Harry Maguire. You know, that's exactly the same situation. An England price tag. And Kun Top, Leicester's owner, he played his cards and dealt those cards well. Got a good deal out of that. And potentially, we kind of replaced him without any worry. I do feel we may be able to sort of hang on without him for the rest of the season. Next season, if Christian Fuchs extends his contract for one more year and we look at getting someone else in. Depends on the money, mate. But if it's any more than 40 million, I'll take him in my car myself.
Take him in the car himself. Who knows? The market's crazy now. You know, I can never really guess a player's value because so much inflation. You just don't know what prices we're going to see banded about, how much teams are willing to pay. But obviously, they are making good use of that money because I actually saw some recent photos and a recent article on the new training ground development. Lee, what do you know as this is a fan? Because this, obviously, we're talking about the money that's gone into Leicester, but this is another elite addition for the club, which is continuing to rise and rise.
I'm glad you brought that up. I made a video on it on our YouTube channel. I'll have to send you the link later.
Please, and fans check that out.
Maybe put it out on the website or something. It's good. £100 million that is invested into that. Harry Maguire practically funded that. Cheers, Man United.
The Harry Maguire Centre.
Yeah, it should be ready for next season, and it's got some state-of-the-art stuff, including a one-of-a-kind goalkeeper training facility that no one else has got. It's going to have a golf course on, and hotel suite, and you name it, it's all sorts going on. Like I say, that should replace our existing one at Beaver Drive next season.
Yeah, and how vital is this? Because, to bring them in line with the teams, we know how good Tottenham Stadium, their training ground is, Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, all in that upper elite. Liverpool are doing a lot of work at Melwood as well. How, if they want to be this, join these forces now, because it isn't the top four, it's the top six. If Leicester need to do this, this can only help, can't it, Lee?
It's in line with the owner's ambitions to become a established elite club. And we're on course. We're established ourselves.
I like that because there is a golf course. We're on course.
We've established ourselves since the rise of Leicester from the Championship, bossing it in the Championship in 2013-14, and since then we've done really well. We the Great Escape season was brilliant, and then so far we've had top 10 finishes, had Champions League football, we've won the Premier League itself, third in the Premier League. You can't really ask for any more for a Leicester fan, considering we were really a yo-yo side in the 90s. Some great stuff, under Martin O'Neill. I love some of those players. I've got some of those players top still here right now as a kid. I think as a whole, the club has moved really onwards and upwards, and I'm really excited for the future of Leicester City Football Club with what's going on, including the extension to the ground, which is scheduled for 2022. I won't give into any more details on that because I was at a meeting about that.
Big shot.
Yeah.
Just pick that name drop out.
I was. I'm not bragging.
It's absolutely brilliant.
it's going to be good as well. That's another potentially 10,000 supporters to come into the ground. So, hey.
Yeah,
they are moving
in the right direction. New training ground, stadium, updates. Yeah. And not only that, European football, one step closer. It is going to be such an exciting dawn for Leicester in the next few years. Just quickly then, Lee, progression or will they get it to Birmingham tomorrow night?
Ooh, I believe last game was 2014. And we won 2-1. I think that was in the championship season that we just talked about. I'm going to go with a win. I'm going to go with Brendan Rodgers to push on to finally get some sort of silverware because it's got to happen. Going to go for a 2-1, actually, tomorrow night.
Well, 2-1. Maybe the Cup can actually galvanise them, spark their league form again. But Lee, they're predicting Leicester will make the quarterfinals at the FA Cup. Always good to get Lee Chappie on. But you can come on as well. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us and join in tonight, 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leicester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and there is still time to get in touch this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, we just heard from a deflated Lee Chappie saying that he's not even into football anymore, let alone Leicester. VAR ruining his footballing dream. What is going on? But I'm now joined by a man who I'm hoping is more upbeat to give us the boost we need in the second half. It is the wonderful Chris Forian from Leicester Till I Die podcast. Chris, always good to be chatting with you once more. But at the minute, Chris, we're having to battle through the thick and the thin, the rough with the smooth, because no win now in 2 months for your beloved Leicester City.
Like I said before, if I had any hair left, I'd be pulling it out. But I just don't know what's gone on. It is frustrating. I do understand Lee's frustration with VAR. I mean, I think the goal that we scored against Norwich a couple of seasons ago, that would have counted. But it's not now. But, and I hate to sort of sound, you know, and use all the old sayings up and everything, but it does balance out. You know, we've had a, you know, we've got 2 points off Wolves that we probably wouldn't have had this time a couple of seasons ago because VAR worked in our favour. Mm. We seem to have hit a brick wall. We seem to be like that, you know, marathon runner. We've hit a brick wall at the moment. We need to sort of pick ourselves up off the floor, dust ourselves down and get on with it again. The worrying thing for me is, had we not had the good start to the season that we had, where would we be now?
Well, this is it. And I asked Lee the exact same thing. I'm sure you heard me saying, you know, is it down to your start why you still have this brilliant 8-point gap cushion, or is it because, you know, the teams below you very under par this year, or simply a combination of both? Because we have to give credit for Leicester's wins. I mean, the way they went about it earlier in the season, just, you know, it was frightful.
It takes two to tango, and I think you have to take a combination of the two things there. I mean, had we not had a good start, where would we be? It was an amazingly brilliant start. But I think, you know, the top teams are at Arsenal. Look at their season, Tottenham, Man United. Normally, you'd say that those three would be in the top six, no problem whatsoever. And they have struggled. And thankfully, that combined with our good start, you know, is where we are at the moment. And we've been able to have a bad run and still stay up there. I mean, I can remember, and I got shot down for this, and I don't want to compare it as game for game, manager for manager, but when Peter Taylor took us over, we had an absolutely brilliant start. We were sat at the top of the table. Peter Taylor was manager of the month. He went on to become the temporary England manager. We were doing really well. We lost one game against Wycombe Wanderers. We couldn't win a game after that. And the following season, we got relegated. You know, I'm not saying that that's going to happen this season, far from it, but it's the same sort of syndrome. We seem to, hit a wall. And at the moment, I don't know whether, you know, he's able to get any answers to it.
Yeah, and well, we're kind of like therapy, these sessions. Me, you, me, yourself, and Lee, you know, we're trying to work out this form at the minute, Chris. And we're talking about a form where Leicester have lost 6 of their last 11 Premier League games. And that is one more than they lost in the first 27 matches under Brendan Rodgers. We know a season is full of highs and lows, ups and downs. But what is it at the minute? Because Lee obviously saying that, you know, it's getting to him. He's struggling to even go to games. We know this happens, but what are we seeing? Because it's rare that we see all of the players not firing at the same time. The Madisons, Ben Chilwell, Vardy, Tielemans, not in the greatest form at the minute. Just what is going on for the Foxes?
I think we possibly missed an opportunity in January when the window came around, not just bringing somebody in just to freshen up the squad. We've got a very young squad, and if we can keep this squad together in 2 or 3 years' time, I honestly think we'll be blowing people out of the water. But it is a young squad. There's no old heads in there anymore. Like, you know, when we won the league, there was a lot of journeymen, but there's a lot of old, experienced heads in there as well. You know, where's Morgan? He's there, but he's not on the pitch, you know. And I think the other thing as well is, I think we've got a captain, and Casper is brilliant. I won't hear a word said against him. He's passionate, but he's a goalkeeper. And I just don't rate goalkeepers as captains. When you've got somebody, you know, you need somebody in the middle of that pitch that's grabbing the youngsters, saying, come on, like, do this, do that. You know, he can't do that from where he is. And I think, you know, we're missing Ndidi. He's a big, huge loss. But I think it is that fact that, you know, we need some experienced heads out there.
Yeah, it's so true. Chris, I have to say I agree. I've never liked your keeper as a captain. I always remember when I was growing up watching Oliver Kahn as captain, I could never, ever quite work it out. You need your leader on the field, you know, being that general, bossing them about. It is so true. Let's look at 2 games now. And there is not only, you know, 2 games for Leicester to forget their form, but they come in quick succession. And a game in a different format, the FA Cup tomorrow night, facing Birmingham. Not the ideal time to face Birmingham, on a terrific unbeaten run, but it's a chance to forget the Premier League pressure, you know, forget their form at the minute, and maybe translate a good cup win into the league form once more. What are your thoughts ahead of this one?
I'm worried, if I'm honest with you. I mean, you just said it then. Going into the game, I think I was looking at the stats that I put up on my website before, and I think we're like, got a 76% chance of winning the game, but Birmingham are the form team. They're the ones that are, and they must look at this, you know, they'll look at Leicester at the moment and think, this is a good time to be playing us. They'll be well up for it. He's probably not going to put out our strongest team. What is that at the moment? Well, that's the other question. I think we've got to be so careful. You know, we only managed to beat Brentford 1-0 in the FA Cup. You know, we'd not sort of, you know, Wigan or, you know, that was two, but that, one of those was an own goal. He's got a habit of putting, you know, giving sort of these sort of fringe players a go, which is fine. But, you know, if we lose this, I dread to think, you know, what's going to happen to the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's why I just feel like even with what Leicester have done earlier on in this season and, you know, missing out on that League Cup final, this is a massive moment in the season because it's not going so well. Their last chance of a trophy. We know if they get Champions League football at the end of the season, this is a terrific first full year under Brendan Rodgers. Mm. But tomorrow night's game, it's bigger than the game with Villa at home on Monday night. Tomorrow's massive. A chance to get to the quarterfinals. And then they win tomorrow, Chris, and everyone kind of forgets about the past 2 months as well, don't they?
No. I don't think we do. And I think I love the
love
FA
that.
Cup. I think we're the team that's been in it the most, you know, the most finals without actually winning it. I'd love to win the FA Cup, but I want to get in the Champions League. And at the moment, that's just dwindling away. You know, every week that lead, you know, we've got over sort of the United and whatever, it's getting less and less every week. And it's almost like we were lucky at the weekend that other results went our way.
Yeah, it's so interesting because you say it's dwindling away, and speaking to other fans, Chris, and they say, oh, you know, in this top four race, Wolves, Spurs, Sheffield United, even maybe Arsenal, if they can pick up some form, you know, they're looking at those places. Leicester will be the team to drop out. I don't see it this way. It's now the time that Leicester are having this poor run, this poor form, yet they have an 8-point gap. Sooner or later, they'll go back to their old selves. When you say dwindling, it's still a huge gap, Chris.
It's 8 points. That's two wins, and the you know, if we lose the next two games and Chelsea, you know, Man United, I think whoever it is, it's in, it, no, it's Chelsea are fourth, aren't they? Is it Man United that's fifth?
Yeah.
They win a couple of games and we lose our next couple of games, and you couldn't bet against us losing the way we're playing at the moment, and it's 2 points, and that starts playing on your mind, and you know, you're saying it's still 8 points, but how many points was it, you know, at the start of the year? It's squeaky bum time. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, squeaky bum time. It's, you know, it sort of brings it home hearing that from the fans. Maybe the outsider are actually bigging up Leicester more than the fans are at the minute. There was no Vardy on the weekend. We know he's got an injury problem, but Rangers didn't play him. There's no Vardy again tomorrow night. So, you know, Iheanacho again. What are you making of the Vardy situation? Because he won't be there either tomorrow.
He's 33. So if he gets an injury, it's probably going to take him, you know, possibly three games where it might take somebody that's in the early 20s one game to get over it these days. We've got to accept that. And we've got to have that back up there. Iheanacho, I mean, a couple of seasons ago, well, when we first bought him, I thought, absolutely brilliant. This guy's going to be great, you know. But then again, you know, who doesn't look good in that Man City squad? But under Pirlo, struggled. Rodgers has brought the best out of him. That should have been a goal against Norwich. He took it brilliantly. It was a great finish. And, he, you know, he's doing what we're asking him to do. He can't do any more when you get situations like we did against Norwich. But we want Vardy back, but we've got to accept that Vardy is, you know, that bit older. And we've got to try and come up with a plan B somehow.
Yeah, and what do you make of Villa then? Because it seems to me, Chris, you're saying you want Champions League more than a cup run. You want that top four guaranteed. So Villa on the Monday night is a massive game and a chance, actually, for a little bit of revenge, Villa knocking you out in the semi-final of the League Cup. Just quickly, Chris, what are your thoughts on the Monday night game?
Again, it's another tough one. The problem is you look at these games on paper and you think, like with the Norwich game, you know, we didn't play badly against Norwich, I don't think, anyway. For most of the game. But you look at it and you think, well, you know, on paper, we should be beating these teams. But these teams are fighting for their lives. Mm. You know, they've just slipped into the relegation zone, but they have got a game in hand. They're going to be up for it because their sort of Premiership survival depends on it. Maybe our players are looking at the fact, like you said, well, we're 8 points, you know, we can sort of take the foot off the gas a little bit. I'm not confident about any game at the moment like I was 3 or 4 months ago.
Well, Chris, two quick predictions. Birmingham tomorrow night. Will Leicester make those quarterfinals in the FA Cup? And your score prediction for Villa on Monday?
I think I've got a horrible feeling in my gut that it's going to go to penalties tomorrow night. And then it's just anybody's game. Mm. Villa, they're going to be up for it. The problem at the moment is I can never see us not conceding a goal. But I'll never go against my team. So Villa, I'm going to go 2-1 to Leicester.
Well, it's just the tonic Leicester need. Could be a battle of penalties as well. Kasper Schmeichel taking on Lee Camp. What a game we are set to have tomorrow night. But this has been the Leicester City Fan Show with Chris Forian there from Leicester Till I Die podcast. And not only can you tune in to us every Tuesday 8 to 8:30, you can join us. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. But come on, you Foxes, see how they go tomorrow night, and we will be back at the same time next week.
This is Love Sport.